Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. A little over a minute past the hour, coming up on 2 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room where a rollicking good time is already being had. How does that happen? Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for the reminder, Steve from Georgia Stan. Throw the third switch. The third switch is thrown. The first switch, the second switch. And switch number 4-sub-1-A has been thrown, and this is a real live, honest-to-goodness, live broadcast. Yes. I think I'm a little addled lately. No, actually, to explain it, over on the computer that sends out the stream, there's an interface, and that's how we send the stream out. And what happens is sometimes... Well, you got to change sound card settings between Live and Memorex. And then sometimes it decides to quit sending and you don't necessarily notice it. Like last night and like tonight, like now. But it's been noticed and ta-da! Yeah, it's a broadcast. So, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And this is The Horn, and if you'd like to participate in the real-time multimedia madcap zany extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, well, just run on over to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and, for nothing more than decent, civilized behavior, you can be there. And you'll be greeted by Anatole and Jug of Punch and Jules and Laborman, Steve from Georgistan, VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, though a third stage guild navigator, has chosen to remain in place and not become Man Cave. I trust that the Man Cave is still rather hot and, what's the word I'm looking for here, uncomfortable. Yes. So... there's that. All right, then. Just a gentle reminder, as ever, that this is a listener-supported broadcast. And each and every broadcast of The Horn is a listener-supported broadcast. And that means we don't have any advertising revenue. There are some organizations, there are some companies I would not mind advertising for. But... by and large, I don't know. The folks who do radio advertising mostly, not so much. You know, the General Steel buildings and the Lumber Liquidators and the Swedish Mattresses and the Bose Wave radios. Although, to be fair, Bose has a relatively new iteration of its noise-canceling headphones out for those of you who travel a lot, like on planes. And it's a dandy. Wireless, too, no less. Bluetooth, even. So, yeah, I mean, I hate their... but anyway, there's none of that. However, we do have a chance to catch up. We fell short of Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge last night, so... oh, well. Kind of hate that. But, at any rate, we've got challenges on the table this evening that can help us make things up. We've got $300 worth of challenges on the table. That means That's $300 that will turn $300 from other sources into $600. Doubling. Matching. They come courtesy of Laborman and courtesy of Chris in Germany. And so, your 10 becomes 20, your 20, 40, your 40, 80, your 50, 100, your 100, 200. And, your 300 becomes 6. So that's what we need to do this evening. And as I mentioned yesterday evening, I'm actually receiving notes saying, "Hey, Bob, take Monday off, for God's sakes, man." So that's what, thank you, Steve from Georgistan, pointing out, "Silver's a hot commodity, Bob." No, Steve, gold is your best investment. There'll never be a better time to buy gold. Buy gold now. Buy high and sell low, you schmucks. Right. If we could meet both of those challenges, yeah, I admit it might be kind of nice to take Monday off, throw something on the babby, that kind of thing, celebrate Labor Day, and honor the working people who have tried so valiantly to make this country a decent place to live. And well, it's like that bumper sticker that Boss Man Wayne had or has on his vehicle. The weekend brought to you by organized labor. So, I could be persuaded to take Monday off, and but we can't be behind in fundraising. We just can't. So that means we need to meet those $300 worth of challenges this evening. Thank you very kindly. Jeremy in Vermont says loud and clear on TuneIn, and count me in for $5 PayPaling right now. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very kindly. And we just need a whole bunch of people standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and elbow to elbow with you. If you want to help out, well, go to headonradionetwork.com, click on contribute. And that'll take you to the PayPal interface where you input all your, however much you want to send. And if you would like for that to become a recurring monthly contribution, just click the little box that says that. And we will begin our slow crawl back toward, we're still trying to find the happy 100. Not to mention the fearless 400 that would mean no more of this kind of anything. You get the idea. But just click that box if you'd like it to be a recurring monthly contribution. Remember, then just fill in the data. We don't care about where you work or who you work for or how much you make. That doesn't, just ignore that and get to the next screen. And, of course, the U.S. Postal Service is also an option. Mm-hmm. That would be checks and money orders made payable to the Horn. To the Horn, see how that works? 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. Also, a reminder, the wild rice offer is still on the table. The first order has gone out. I am awaiting receipt of it, and then I'm ordering more, but right now just don't have enough to really send in the next order. Just a couple of three folks jumping in on that. If you want it, let me know. Remember, a $60 contribution gets you the gift of a pound of hand harvested in the ancient millennia-old tradition, a pound of hand-harvested wild rice. A $100 contribution gets you 2 pounds. Yes. So, if you want that, you have to tell me, you have to give me, send an email, do the PayPal thing, and then send me an email with the mailing address you prefer and tell me you want it. I do not read minds. Okay. And, bills to pay. There are always bills to pay. So that gets all the fundraising. That gets all the fundraising business out of the way. Hopefully. Well, no, it's not out of the way because, you know, the $300 challenge hasn't been met. But that takes care of the housekeeping part of it. Yeah. Yes, I know. Steve from Georgia Stan reminding me. Cletus wants the wild rice. Yes, we know Cletus is a good girl, she's a good baby, she's a good puppy. But going forward, just make sure I have an address, blah, blah, blah. And when we've got a good handful of orders, I'll send out another order, okay? Now, I guess I would be remiss if I did not mention that it is this second day of September 2016, is Friday on the Front Porch. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very kindly for jumping in. So that is, we've got $270 to go to meet the two challenges. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Jeremy. Thank you very, very much. So, it's Friday on the Front Porch. And that means that here in about, 45 minutes or so, we will be cranking up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable so that we can, well, do something that nobody else does. We do it every Friday on the Horn. If you've never participated in the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, well, it's open to you. It works best if you use Skype. And, you know, once you've loaded Skype on your machine, just send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunc, on Skype, one word, Sparky Dunc, and zounds, he will send you he'll let you know how to find the breadcrumb trail. The Bob signal is already flashing up against the clouds. And our rollicking good time of Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable will include you. If you absolutely cannot make Skype work, then, well, that's what the stress line's for. We got one line there, and you can use it to join in the group, 304-663-4676. Okay? Okay. A couple of public service announcements right off the bat. I like to keep up with technology. You know, I'm a tech. It just kind of comes with the territory, I guess. Not too long back, Samsung released its iPhone killer. The Samsung Galaxy Note 7. Specs on it are spectacular. See what I did there?
Yeah.
By the way, Samsung is not paying us at all for saying such a nice thing about its little unit. It's an Android phone, for those of you who despise iOS and all things Apple. And they're out there. Sucker's got a humongous processor in it. 4 gigs of RAM. Big screen, big, beautiful 4K AMOLED screen. And it blows up, too. If you've got one of these things, or know someone who does, you might want to, because they've probably not heard anything yet, but apparently, according to the stuff that I've read, Samsung is recalling every last unit that it made. Because they tend to be, it appears they're having a worldwide exploding phone problem. Which, you know, while spectacular, is not a good thing. It's a battery issue of some sort. In the interim, people are being warned, do not leave your phone on the charger overnight. And, you know, don't leave it alone anywhere. Don't leave it sitting next to anything combustible. Because when they blow, I mean, it's not like they just go, They go, bang! And the pictures are pretty spectacular. So just a word of warning, if you have the new Samsung Galaxy, or it's not a Galaxy, it's just the Samsung Note 7, whoever you got it from, take it back. Hopefully you saved your box and everything. Take it back, and apparently Samsung is recalling everything, and they'll have you a new one as soon as they figure out where in the manufacturing process everything went wrong. And I say this because I don't want anybody to experience an exploding phone or a burning down house or anything like that. I don't know why their batteries are exploding. Oh, dear. Jeremy in Vermont notes my stepdad just got one, and he and my mom just flew off to Scotland with it. Well, you might want to text them or email them. I'd say email, maybe, because... I mean, exploding phone. So, a word to the wise is sufficient. On another front, because here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, it's pretty... it's kind of roughly supper time. Oh, you know it's coming, don't you? I saw a story that reminded me of an old tale I once heard. The city slicker was out in the country one day, and then he was staying at a bed and breakfast out there, and he was out for a healthful morning walk in the countryside, and he saw a farmer with a wagon moving along the road, and the wagon was full of something that was not particularly, well, it didn't smell like violets. In fact, it was a wagon load of, you know, shit. And the city slicker tourist looked at the farmer and said, "Mister, where are you? What are you going to do with all that poop?" And the farmer said, "Yeah, I'm going to put it on my strawberries." To which the city slicker replied, "You ought to come down to our bed and breakfast. We get sweet cream for ours." I'm not awarding myself a cowbell for that. That's awful. But if you pay attention long enough, even the most hoary, H-O-A-R-Y, of old chestnut jokes will find their way into your reality. So, if you are particularly on the east coast of the United States, don't worry, Tracy. This isn't like the scallops, okay? Well, it is kind of like the scallops, because lots and lots of people are falling sick from tainted strawberries because capitalism, and they're getting, as was the case with the scallops a couple of weeks ago, they're getting hepatitis A. Health authorities have confirmed 44 total infections in Virginia. That's where the outbreak started. There have been an additional 4 in Maryland, 4 here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, 1 in North Carolina, 1 in Oregon, and 1 in Wisconsin. The outliers in Oregon and Wisconsin had traveled to the East Coast and eaten some tainted strawberries. Yeah. CDC spokeswoman Nora Spencer Lovall said, due to the relatively long incubation period for hepatitis A, 15 to 50 days, before people start experiencing symptoms, we expect to see more ill people reported in this outbreak. Yeah, more people sick with hepatitis A. Which, again, only occurs on strawberries when said strawberries have come in contact with the fecal matter of a person, that would be a human being, who him or herself has hepatitis A. That's right. Here in Merca, we somehow can't keep the strawberries separate from people's poop. Damn it, Bob. Somewhere out there in the Horn Family Community Congregation, they're just wrapping up supper, and there's a bowl of strawberries with sugar syrup glaze on them, and maybe some of those, maybe some you know, nice vanilla pound cake and some whipped cream. And well, you can put all the whipped cream you want on it, but it's like the old joke. They've already had manure on them. Half of the 44 infected Virginians have been hospitalized. People from age 15 to 68. The symptoms have been rolling around since early May and all the way up through August. And, you know, it's only the second day of September. Only in August did the CDC come up with a common source of infection theory. But that is what it appears to be. Now, a majority of the people, who contracted hepatitis A had had fresh fruit smoothies, including strawberries, from the Tropical Smoothie Cafe restaurants. Apparently, there are Tropical Smoothie Cafe restaurants in Virginia and neighboring states. And yes, the berries, the strawberries, were, of course, imported. They weren't American hepatitis strawberries. They was foreigner hepatitis strawberries. Yay, free trade. Well, that's true, Brother Deacon Ace is saying. It's probably more like you can't keep capitalism away from your strawberries, huh? Not so much that in America you can't keep your strawberries away from poop. Right. I agree. I agree, Brother Deacon Ace. But these ain't patriotic, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, standing for the national anthem strawberries, damn it. These, you know, see, Mexico is not sending us their best strawberries. They're sending us hepatitis rapist strawberries. Just ask the great big steaming orange pile of shit, otherwise known as Donald J. Trump, billionaire who owns a mansion and a yacht. Again, the most common way the virus is transmitted is when someone eats something that has been contaminated with the feces of an infected person. These are not. Aha! Oh my God! Oh, there it is. How did I not see it? These aren't Mexican strawberries. They're Egyptian Isis strawberries. See, they're inscrutable. The ISIS is over there, and they got somebody with the hepatitis A, and he's a-pooping on the strawberries before they send them to Merca. Where the hell do they grow strawberries in Egypt? Yeah, oh well. No, they are. According to Mike Rotondo, CEO of Tropical Smoothie Cafe, which should apparently be renamed ISIS Smoothie Cafe, on August 5th, the Virginia Department of Health contacted us about a potential link between hepatitis A cases and frozen strawberries from Egypt. The company immediately removed the imported strawberries from its cafes and purchased new strawberries from alternate sources. Merca? Nah. Mm-hmm. Genetic tests show the illnesses to be caused by a strain of hepatitis A virus associated with past outbreaks resulting from strawberries imported from Egypt. Wait a minute! There have been more and other hepatitis A outbreaks caused by strawberries from Egypt? Well, I guess we know what killed King Tut. More than 80% of adults exposed will experience symptoms. Most children who get infected with hepatitis A show no sign of illness. Now, you might find this to be interesting. Hepatitis A rates in the United States have plummeted by 95% because back in 1995, a vaccine for hepatitis A became available. Of course, I'm sure that if you ask in certain quarters, they will happily tell you that there needs to be more research on hepatitis A vaccines. Yeah, I'm not going to mention who that might be, except to say that, well, you know, Jill Stein. Needs to be more research on that and the Wi-Fi and stuff. We weren't much interested in the Wi-Fi research until somebody mentioned, until, you know, Jill Stein got kind of caught playing footsie with the anti-vaxxers and the anti-science people. But now we are. We're really, really concerned. And, you know, there we go. The European Center for Disease Prevention and Control. They've noted hepatitis A outbreaks, again, linked to Egypt. So a word to the wise is sufficient. If your strawberries are not patriotic, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, merkin strawberries, the greatest strawberries in the history of the universe, on the world, on earth, now, today, forever, under God, don't eat them. So we've got that. Just, you know, public service announcements, that's all. You're kind of missing my point there, Randy. Randy says, no, it's the hepatitis B vaccine that's caused some people trouble. When she was caught playing footsie with the anti-vaxxers, the excuse given by Jill Stein was that, we just want more research. Which is a way to say, ah, you caught me playing with the footsie with the anti-vaxxers. You're right. So, no, that was just a little side giggle. That's all that was. What else? I mentioned a couple of nights ago that we were going to play Fun with Mathematics, because Fun with Mathematics is always such a hoot when I'm the one having the fun, because Anatole in the chat room. No, it's the Zikas! Oh, and the Zikas, by the way, while we're at it. I saw this earlier today, courtesy of our buddy Kelly. Because of the raging paranoia that surrounds the Zika virus, and justifiably so, going back to what killed King Tut, Jeremy in Vermont says, I'm pretty sure King Tut died when he fell off his cart when Mario and Bowser bumped him on the track and thus crushing his skull. Yeah. It wasn't no ice of strawberries, damn it. Still waiting for news of ISIS taking responsibility for the hepatitis A outbreak. And if they don't, well, if he hears about it, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini will, I'm sure, inform us that, Sharia law strawberries. Because ISIS. But math fun. Math fun. I ran across this story. One other thing. Since we're talking cell phone technology and stuff, if you're one of those people who does not hate iPhones, then please run over to your settings app and go into general and click on software update, because if you haven't yet, you've got a software update waiting for you. And by the way, the number of Samsung Note 7s being recalled, 2.5 million. Every last one of them. Yeah. But if, you've got a software security update waiting for you over there inside your iPhone, and you know you probably need to take it, because, well, hackers. And in this case, not just any hackers, it's our partners in peace, the Israelis. Yes, our friends. With friends like these, you know? There is apparently, and by hackers, I don't mean, a couple of 13-year-old kids living on the kibbutz, just messing around with iOS 9 point what the hell ever it is. No, this is a pretty serious outfit, and they deal in big money, and so therefore it's not like they're running under the Israeli government radar. Rather, they're probably well known to and sanctioned by and tolerate, yada, yada, yada. The outfit's called the NSO Group. And they're in the business of selling software that invisibly tracks a target's mobile phone. And this particular software can read text messages. It can read emails. It can track calls, contacts, and even record sounds and collect passwords and see just exactly where the phone user, is, with precision pinpoint accuracy that can be used to maybe call in a missile strike or something. Mm-hmm. Nice bunch. This is serious business. They are cyber weapons. And it turns out that they found a flaw or a weakness or some such inside iOS 9 point whatever and began propagating it. 9.3.5. iOS 9.3.5 was released last week. It was discovered by a couple of researchers, Bill Marzak and John Scott Railton, at the University of Toronto's Monk School of Global Affairs, something called Citizen Lab. Another outfit out of San Francisco called Lookout found it as well. Meanwhile, our Israeli friends, NSO Group, boast that their spyware is a ghost. It tracks moves and keystrokes, never leaves a trace. How did people find out? Well, there's this guy. And back on August 10th, this guy, who is a human rights activist, started all of a sudden getting suspicious text messages about torture. And so he then turned the messages over to the folks at Citizen Lab at the University of Toronto. And they found the ghost and realized that it was software that was being used to track the guy. Now, who is the guy? Is he a desperate ISIS terrorist? Not hardly. Is he a member of the PLO or Hezbollah or no? No, he is. He's a fellow by the name of Ahmed Mansour. He is one of the leading human rights activists in the United Arab Emirates. And apparently the NSO group there in Israel considers him to be some sort of a threat. How does the NSO group operate? Well, they spoof other organizations. Their tools, their weapons, are designed to impersonate or imcyberate, I don't know, the Red Cross, Facebook, Federal Express, CNN, Al Jazeera, Google, and yes, Pokemon. And that's how they get the trust of their targets. Over at the Lookout Corporation in San Francisco, Mike Murray, a vice president there, said NSO Group was very professional and very effective in staying silent. Busted. Again, our partners in peace, the Israelis. It's a fascinating article because it goes into the whole idea of zero-day exploits, things that these cyber warfare outfits find and exploit, and they're called zero-day because it means that the originator of the software, the operating system, has not had a day because they don't know about their own fault. They haven't had a day. They've had 0 days to correct it. Let's see. Who else were our partners in peace? These good capitalists and Israelis. Who else were they spying on besides Mr. Mansour, who is a human rights activist? Well, how about Rafael Cabrera? Rafael Cabrera broke important news stories about corruption and conflicts of interest within the ruling family of Mexico. Because the NSO group will sell to any government. You know, they won't just sell to, you know, some guy that wants to pretend to be a Nigerian widow trying to collect her dead husband's millions. No, no, no. They only sell to legitimate sources, like Mexico, the Mexican government, or the Yemeni government, or the Turkish government, or the government of Mozambique, or the government of Kenya, or the United Arab Emirates, where being a human rights advocate can be troubling. But of course the NSO group puts a little sticker on its product saying, now we're selling you this, and you're only allowed to use it in a lawful manner. The products may only be used for the prevention and investigation of crimes. Wonder what crime Mr. Cabrera committed there in Mexico after the NSO group sold the software. Is it a crime in Mexico to investigate corruption and conflicts of interest inside the ruling family of said government? And, if you were wondering about why I said that this sleazy company operates with the complete and total approval of the Israeli government, well, a spokesman for the NSO group said, "The company sells only to authorized governmental agencies and fully complies with strict export control laws and regulations." Now, a majority stake in the group has been sold to a private equity firm called Francisco Partners Management LLC in San Francisco. It went for $120 million. As the New York Times account notes, Francisco Partners declined to comment. Meanwhile, Bill Marzak, the guy at Citizen Lab who identified this nasty piece of weaponized code, said this sort of thing's only going to expand. The targeting of these activists and dissidents is a taste of what's to come. What they're facing today will be faced by ordinary users tomorrow. So, make sure you download your security update. Unless you want to be spied on. Let's see. Let's check in on a couple of emails. The issue subject line: phone go boom. The issue of Samsung Galaxy phones spontaneously exploding is not a recent one. These phones have been going into meltdown mode and combusting all over the place for a number of years. The S3 model, featuring in such events as far back as 2013 or thereabouts. Some of the earlier models around 2010 and later were also prone to go up for no apparent cause. Samsung's tried to keep this sort of thing under the carpet practically forever, but has evidently been unable to get this thing under control for as long as they've been pushing the damn things. I'm sure the Apple folks are chortling with glee. Regards, Steve in China. Gee, you know, maybe if the damn things were made by people who aren't practically chained to a table for 12 hours a day, forbidden to take more than one bathroom break, and forbidden from speaking at all to their coworkers, and living in dormitories with suicide nets outside them, and rooming in their dormitory with someone who doesn't even speak their own language, you know, thus enforcing a sense of an overwhelming sense of corporate imposed misery, maybe these problems wouldn't exist. But you know, it profit. It may not be new, but this is the first time that Samsung has recalled every last piece of equipment that they have that they've manufactured. In this case, the Note 7. Meanwhile, Jim tells me he received a letter from the Office of Personnel Management that all of his data had been hacked. Didn't say by whom. Well, do you really have to guess, Jim? Meanwhile, Scott lets me know, Scott in San Diego, well, I mean, Punky, Scott translates. That iPhone security issue, the issue also affects Mac laptops. There's a new security update available. Oh, well, I better look into that. What else? A note from Kim in New Jersey. Subject line: why Hillary? Answer: because Trump. This election is not about what we have to gain by electing Hillary, but rather what we have to lose by allowing Trump to win. It's just that simple. I really don't care about all of her baggage, no matter what the details. We're so totally screwed the day Trump is sworn in. You'll lose your Obamacare, as shitty as it is. I'll lose my marriage equality, future Medicare and Social Security. We will all lose so much in so many ways. Kim says, did you ever think that fundraising might be easier if you commenced bashing Trump, which you seem rarely to do? Huh? Great big steaming orange pile of shit? That's rarely... Jesus, Kim. And stop the Hillary bashing and Stein bashing? I haven't Hillary bashed in a very long time. I don't think I've ever Hillary bashed, but we've been through this. And Kim then notes, who really gives a damn about Stein anyway? Enough already. Well, apparently a lot of people do. Or at least a lot of people out in the progressive community. And that's, you know, that's the pity of it all, is that, you know, we're the progressive community is fracturing into teeny tiny pieces, which is not a good thing. And if you think about it, and this is kind of important, I've made it abundantly clear. Apparently, Kim only hears me say things about Hillary or about Jill Stein. But I've made it abundantly clear that the battle here is for the soul of America, such as it is. It was just last night that I was talking about the fact that they're not the phenomenon that is driving Trump and the Trumpansies is not going to go away on the morning of November 9th, 2016, if he loses. A nightmare hellscape will open up in this country if he wins. But it's not going away. And see, that's one of those little things about fighting fascism. You can't half-heartedly do it. Everybody who is opposed to fascism has to fight fascism, or else fascism often, as is often the case, wins. And so, where the third partyists and everything are concerned, the greenies and whatnot, if we do manage this time through to beat back American Trump-style fascism, and this is the sadness of it, it will be not because of the most progressives of progressives, just ask them, they'll tell you, but despite them. We'll be out there, others will be out there pushing back against this advent of American-style, Trump-driven fascism, while people who call themselves the real progressives, and remember, I've been accused of not being one after more than 12 years on the air covering progressive issues, progressive stories, progressive causes, supporting them, urging them on. If we manage to beat back American-style fascism in this presidential election, it won't be because we had any help from the progressive purists. And that's a damn shame. Another story. I got lost in the iPhone thing a minute ago. I could save this for Moran Monday, I could. But this is just one of those pathetic little things. The country is, of course, becoming more and more worried about Zika. There's going to be lots of standing water in Florida for the next few days. Hermina, or Hermine, came ashore early this morning, and there were 9-foot storm surges in some parts of western Gulf coastal Florida. Steve from Georgia Stan says, you won't be here Monday, Bob. We'll know by the end of the night whether I'll be here on Monday, won't we? We've got $270 in fundraising to go. Now, this story comes courtesy of Kelly out of Dorchester County, South Carolina. which I'm sure is a lovely place. Apparently there are lots of living, growing things, plants, things that need pollinating in Dorchester County, South Carolina. But in Dorchester County, South Carolina, they is all worried about the Zika. The Zika virus has infected South Carolina. It may turn out to be worse than Yankees. Oh, Rhett! So, because they were all worried and had their maiden forms in a bunch in Dorchester County, South Carolina, about the Zika, they blanket sprayed a 15-square-mile area of Dorchester County with an insecticide, because there have been 4 cases of Zika reported in Dorchester County. They've had more than 40 travel-related Zika cases in South Carolina, Stan. And so county officials did something they'd never done before. Instead of doing ground-based spraying from trucks, they decided to spray aerially and just bombed the bejesus out of 15 square miles of Dorchester County using an insecticide called NALED, N-A-L-E-D. It's frequently used to control mosquito populations. Here's the bad part. It also kills honeybees deader than Pharaoh's cat. And that's what happened there in Dorchester County. Now, the instructions are pretty clear. You're supposed to spray at night, because the honeybees, being the hardworking little animals that they are, knock off at sundown. And they go back to their hives and get busy making honey. They've done all their pollinating for the day, and they go home to work some more. And so you minimize the losses to honeybee colonies if you spray after dark. Did the authorities in South Carolina stand spray after dark? Oh, hell no! They sprayed first thing in the morning. You know, when the strains of Tchaikovsky's 1812 overture, the na 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 na, or and the sun's coming up over the low country, and people are just tucking into their bowl of morning grits or whatnot. And, some folks had to get their grits a lot earlier because they had to get in the air. But da-da-da, ya-da-da-da, ya-da-da-da, ya-da-da. Because they bombed the living hell out of Dorchester County. Because they's going to kill them mosquitoes. And maybe they, too, were listening to the 1812 with the... Boom! And, you know, every time they hit the spray button. Yeah. So now, in a county that apparently has a significant agricultural element to it, 2.5 million honeybees are, as previously noted, deader than Pharaoh's cat. Mm-hmm. The EPA is the one who suggests spraying NALED between dusk and dawn. Job killing, regulating EPA, goddamn Obama. But no, they're in Dorchester County. They know better than that Kenyan muslin, you slurpers, EPA, and the job killers. So they let her rip between 6:30 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. just as all the bees were getting busy for the day. Beesy. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't get a cowbell for that, do I? And, you know, beekeepers have a really, really tender relationship with those little animals. The beekeepers feel as tenderly toward their bees as somebody does about his horses or her cattle or their pigs and sheep. And Juanita Stanley was heartbroken. She was crying. She said there was no need for a bee suit Monday morning to go down there because there was no activity. It was silent. No hum. No buzz. Honestly, she said, I just fell to the ground. I was crying and I couldn't quit crying and I was throwing up. She owns an apiary called Flower Town Bee Farm. And all her bees were dead. She also noted, nobody called me about the aerial spraying. Nobody told me at all. I would have been screaming and pleading on their doorstep if they had. Do it at night when bees are done foraging, I would have told them. But they sprayed at 8 a.m. on a Sunday and all my bees were out doing their work by then. Well, see, that's because they were godless communist bees. Why wasn't they in bee church on Sunday morning like God wanted them to be? Working on a Sunday. County Administrator Jason Ward said, I'm not pleased that so many bees were killed. And we're terribly sorry, but somebody failed to call them there at Flower Town Bee Farm. We've learned that the beekeeping community in Dorchester County, and in that area in particular, is larger than we were aware of. But it wasn't just Ms. Stanley. Andrew Mackey said, my wife called a short time after the flyover and said, we have a mass killing. We have thousands and thousands of bees dead all around our pool deck and our driveway, just everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Ward said, I can assure you that having a better relationship with the beekeeping community is paramount in avoiding this type of situation. I'm sorry, that was Mr. Ward. And they're going to try to collect all the information they can about all the beekeepers there in Dorchester County now that all the bees is dead. And they're going to have better relationship, yes. Because, you know, they might have had to pay time and a half if they'd had somebody do the spraying at night. And after all, down there in South Carolina, they are good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, fiscal conservative Republicans. Meanwhile, Dennis Van Engelsdorp, who is a bee researcher at the University of Maryland in College Park, said, I think this shows how easy it is to forget best practices when faced with emerging issues, and killing bees is probably not the biggest impact. If you're killing honeybees, you're killing a lot of other non-honeybee pollinators too, and those populations could take a long time to recover. Enjoy that next year's peach crop now, y'all. Damn the stupid. But, woo, the Zeeker! All they had to do was spray after sundown. And they would have killed lots and lots of mosquitoes who liked to be out and about at that time. So, you know, we got that. Note coming in from Steve in New York, bashing Jill Stein, subject line. With all due respect, you don't Jill Stein bash. All you've done is articulate things Jill and the Greens have said and done, whether it's the vaxxer comments, the Wi-Fi comments, or the lack of grassroots activity. I don't want to get into a pissing match, but I had to push back on your and the Horn's behalf. Signed, Steverino. Steverino. Somebody feeling froggy on a Friday. Wonder if they got the frogs in Dorchester County, too. Don't know. Yeah. So, wow, where'd that hour go? Well, wherever it went, it's time to fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. And again, if you've never done it before and you'd like to give it a whirl, send a contact request on Skype to, and this is one word, Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, or if you absolutely cannot manage Skype, you can use the stress line, 304-663-4676, okay? And yes, we've got $270, because Steve from Georgia Stan just asked, how far away are you from getting Monday off? $270 to raise. To meet the two challenges on the table, courtesy of Laborman and Chris in Germany. $270 to go. One at 270, 10 at 27, 27 at 10, 2 at 135. Oh my God, 130 is 50, 65. 4 at 67.50. Have I got that right? Yeah, any more than that, my head's going to explode. But that's how far we—that's how far away we are, and hopefully we'll make up that ground. It would be just plain old-fashioned freaking awesome if we could. All right, then, Friday on the Front Porch begins now. This is listener-supported conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Keep the wild ones home. Mister, don't just sit there and wait. Go out on the town, make it all of the rounds. It don't matter if you're your own.
Dreaming of your pretty eyes up in South Carolina. I can't pronounce my R's or G's when I'm speaking Southernese. Honeydew, honey, come and do me again. My cup of chowder, I go candlelight, cold champagne nearly every night. Honeydew, a little toast for me and you. Maitre d' keeps telling me, sir, Now what the hell's Gargan know? We've been through all this before. Honeydew, honey, come and do me again. All right, Blues Torpedo.
Singing. 7 minutes after the hour on this Friday on the front porch for the second day of September 2016. That just seemed to work out nicely, I thought. And thanks going out to Anatole in the chat room. Big thanks, because we have just we've taken the fundraising goal down now to $220 to go. That's one at 220, two at 110, four at 55. 8 at 2750. See, I can deal with numbers like that a little bit easier. But thank you, Anatole. Thank you very, very kindly. So, let's see. That's $220 of $300 in matching challenges met this evening. So, thank you. Thank you very, very much. And hopefully, Anatole, you and Jeremy and Ralphs will have some company somewhere along the way as the program proceeds. And let us not dilly-dally or shilly-shally about. Let's run over and check in with Sparky as he manages the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable discussion known as the Horn Malloy Skype chat room. Good evening, Sparky.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon to you. So, what's the temperature in the man cave since you're not folding space today?
Oh, it's not that bad out there. I've lost my will to go out there, so to speak.
Well, that just sounds a little pathetic.
The man cave is after a week of truck repair and.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, my stepson came down. I came down just to visit and then found out his steering box on his truck was leaking.
Oh, a likely story.
No, it was. It was leaking bad. They're losing power.
No, I believe it was leaking. He just came down to get a little help from stepdad.
No. So he pulled it in the shit shop and started tearing it apart. That's why I said it was a truck repair, because you got fight to get it out, and then fight to get a part, because it has to come next day, and then find out you need more parts, run back and forth to town.
And somewhere along the way, you bark the skin off your knuckles, yeah?
No, I didn't have to help him do anything. I stayed out of there. I didn't want to hear any of the cussing and tool throwing and shit. But he got
damn, there was cussing and tool throwing. That sounds like a pretty good time. Couple of six packs of PBR, and you're right there.
No, we were drinking some other beer. But we barbecued a few nights, and we had movie nights and that kind of thing. So we got plenty of visiting, and they just left this morning.
Did you throw one of those magnificent Northern California tri-tips on the smoker?
Yeah, we had one of those.
How did I know?
We had T-bone steak, and then last night I cooked up a beer can chicken.
Very nice. Well, we're all a titter here where I lived. I mean, no, not all of us, but we've got a new fast food joint. Bojangles has opened for the first time. Yeah, I know I'm being facetious, but no, but we it got me thinking, because this time last year, Ferg and I were on the road to Darlington, South Carolina, mm-hmm. for his first NASCAR experience. And they're running that, what, Sunday evening? That's another evening race, right?
Saturday night, I think.
Is it Saturday night?
Yeah. That's what they usually do when they have night races.
No, I thought maybe it was... I'm pretty sure it's Sunday. It's the 4th.
Okay.
But that was...
All I know is they canceled qualifying because of the weather.
Yeah, because the storm was going... Well, one wonders if they'll even be able to run it.
Well, from what I read, I think they'll get the Xfinity race in tomorrow, and then they'll run that one Sunday night. You're right. But the other NASCAR news out today is Dale Jr. is out for the season.
Rotator cuff? Flagellate? What?
No, he missed 6 races from concussion, like symptoms.
Oh, I missed that part.
So, Jeff Gordon's been driving for him.
Oh, wow, and he, like, retired last year, right?
Yeah, he retired last year. He's been driving. He drove all but two of the... he's driven 4 races, I think. He drove the Brickyard and a couple of Bristol.
Well, I was thinking about it because, of course, the corporate sponsor of the Southern 500 there at Darlington is, none other than Bojangles.
Oh, well, we don't have them out here. Closest thing, I think. There's a Popeyes up on the freeway.
Now, see, that's now you're talking. Ready. I'd rather have Popeyes any day of the week than Bojangles.
We don't have Colonel Sanders anymore. They closed them all.
I can't get real broken up about that. I mean, when you reach into the box and every chicken leg is broken, you got to wonder what's going on.
I got to tell you. Just a short story. We're driving going to town the other day. Go to the parts house, and we come up to the stoplight. And I look over, and about 2 cars up from me in the other lane, here's this idiot who's got a big old Trump yard sign taped with clear tape on the back of his pickup tailgate. I said. Brian, I said, look, an idiot.
Oh, you mean just like the thing we use in the chat room? Look, son, an idiot.
Yeah. That's what I did.
We do the same thing here. In fact, today, Sparky, I was coming down one of the back roads into Fayetteville, and I saw a sign by the side of the road by somebody's driveway. It says, does your presidential candidate agree with the Bible? And, well, I didn't photograph it. I'm sure it'll still be there tomorrow. I plan on it. And there was a whole lot more text underneath it. But, you know, my thought was immediately, I don't know. I don't know if Hillary Clinton agrees that it's okay for teenage girls to get liquored up and have sex with their daddy. You know, because that's in the Bible. Does your candidate agree with the Bible? Well, After all, T-Rump did say once upon a time that if Ivanka was not his daughter, he'd probably date her.
Yeah, he's not that religious.
So that would make him the biblical candidate, wouldn't it? Yeah. Oh, before we go around through the rest of the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable on Skype, we've got somebody on the stress line up in Minneapolis. Hey, welcome to the program. Welcome to Friday.
Hi, this is Nick in Minnesota.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
I'm doing good. I always mostly listen to you in podcasts, and lately I'm like thinking, I should call Bob. That I figured I might as well do it on a Friday night on the front porch. So,
good choice.
Here I am. Here I am.
And we're glad you are. Any particular thing? Any bees under your bonnet? Well, no, the bees are dead. Any burrs under your saddle?
Well, the only thing I wanted to let you know is it one man's opinion here, but I think you've been remarkably consistent. And, I think yesterday when you were talking about the, feeling like you were in a circular firing squad in the middle of it, I guess I don't see that because, one thing you were always saying, during the primary and even before the primary is you always saw Southwest Moonbeam as being the capable emperor administrator, administrative emperor using your, Roman history or whatever, and I guess I kind of see what, that you're basically saying the same thing, but, with the alternative being the destruction of the empire, I guess I'd rather have the capable administrator of the empire than the destruction of the empire, so there's not much of a real choice there.
Yeah, because, Nick, you really don't want to be around when the Vandals come to the gates.
No, exactly.
Or the Goths, or the Visigoths. there aren't any good barbarians.
The unfortunate thing is it probably does mean, more foreign entanglements than I would certainly prefer when Southwest Moonbeam is elected, but I'd rather see that than the other alternative.
Well, the other alternative is not an alternative. The other alternative is an act of ritual suicide, Nick.
Yeah, very, very possibly, very possibly.
Look at my guts down here. let's pull out a few more of them. Huh, how about that? Still more guts.
There are some people on the left wing that I've read that actually think, the opposite, that they actually think that Trump might be, less likely to engage in a war than...
Yeah, I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can come to that conclusion and still be calling what you're doing thinking.
Yeah, well, I don't know either way, really, but when it comes to any kind of other domestic policies, then there's no, it's a black and white. So that's all I care about.
Well,
The
Mexico trip didn't exactly fill me with a renewed sense of inspiration for his diplomacy or his governing or any. And it's entirely possible, Nick, that this is all a setup because he's the only person Southwest Moonbeam could ever have beaten. And you know, that Marco Rubio is now saying, well, I'm not sure if I'll serve out my, if I win in November in Florida, I'm not sure I'll serve the whole term because, you know, I might need to run for president again. I hear my country calling.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's not like the Republican Party's going to get okay. They're not going to get well. I don't know. It's kind of like having tertiary syphilis. It takes a long time to kill you, but in the meantime, it eats your brains. And that's what's going on inside the Republican Party. So, but no, I mean, nobody's happy. You're not loving Hillary enough. Never mind Stein. You're not, and you know, you're not beating up on Trump enough. Oi.
I think you've been remarkably consistent all throughout. That's all I really wanted to say about that. It's the same old problem being the progressive. I mean, you were alluding to earlier this week, to me it goes back to like the Henry Wallace coup d'etat. We've all, ever since the world would have been different if Henry Wallace had ended up being president, but we never had that opportunity. And then ever since then, it's been try to work the middle. I mean, Harry Truman was better than the racist guy that was the other choice, I guess, for vice president that they were thinking about getting when they kicked Henry out. So,
and then in turn, later on, Harry Truman was better than Thomas E. Dewey, just like FDR was better than Bendel Vilke.
Absolutely.
Well, Nick, I'm glad you called in. We'll go and check in with the rest of the group now.
Very good.
All right. Good evening. Good evening, Snork. Are you there with us?
Hopefully my microphone's working.
It is.
I'm on my backup computer, and it's the first time I've had the chance to test my microphone. Everything is going well out here. We have a few cool days left, and then we're going to get a hot week, and I suppose we're going to be hitting it kind of cold for the rest of the next 3 months.
What, the snow flies in late September?
I don't know. This is, we're, you know, with the global warming, we're kind of in uncharted temperatures. The way things behave and the way the polar air wobbles, we could be seeing quite an extreme. And I don't know whether to expect to be wearing shorts outside until December or freezing next week.
Well, at least it makes the meteorologist's job a little bit more usable.
Yes. It looks like things are settling down in England. I might be looking at a project for Northern Ireland that could be duplicated for a plant in West Virginia. So I'm going to be pushing for that.
Oh, wow. Does that mean travel for you?
Possibly.
Well, cool. And, when will you know?
But I think it would be a plant that would be put in a place where a mountain has been removed, that we'd have a flat area and need access to a few hours travel to Washington, D.C. or.
Well, if they're planning on building on a mountaintop removal site, good luck to them. Not a lot of luck with that so far.
It's like building on the moon. Everything would have to be replaced, even the water supply and air supply.
Just about, because, I mean, the ground's not fit to be built on either.
Mm-hmm.
Because, the classic case in point is the prison they tried to build on a mountaintop removal site. And, you know, modern prisons have electronic doors that slide closed and slide open and unlock. Well, they couldn't get them to do that because the ground kept settling.
Yeah, you basically have to build it like a boat. It's actually has to float on the ground.
They've not had a lot of luck with the high school they built there. They built a Walmart on a mountaintop removal site, and well, Action Alley is sort of like Action Gravel Road.
Hmm.
Yeah. But good luck and keep us posted. Let's see. Billable Rick, where were you last week?
I was. What was I doing last week? Oh, I was getting ready to go to the Cubby game.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
It was exciting.
Who won?
Yeah. The Cubs did in the 10th inning.
Ooh, baseball.
Yeah, two-run homer by Bryant. The Cubs took an early lead. I think they were up like 2-0. Then they fell behind like 4-2 going into like the 8th inning. Bryant hit a home run to make it 4-3. And then in the 9th inning, they got kind of a lucky run, a ball like a high fastball hit the edge of the catcher's mitt as he was reaching up to grab it, and it went, you know, over his head and past home plate. Went over his glove and past home plate, so tied it up. And then in the 10th inning, Bryant hit a two-run home run, and before you know it, I was waving to the guy further down in the field stands who had a W flag for when the Cubs win, you know. They always bring out the W, you know, white flag with a blue W on it. So I would say there were probably as many Cub fans as there were Dodger fans.
Well, so Cubby fans are diehards, and they're everywhere.
Oh, God, yeah. And, boy, they I don't know how they did tonight. I have the game. I'm recording it, so I don't want to know who won. But they beat the Giants last night. They came from behind in the 7th inning with a 2-run single by Addison Russell and won the game 5-4. So they are, as of the game yesterday, they are 39 games above 500.
You know, that's going to with this little season left, that's going to prove to be that's going to be tough to choke on.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. I think they have like either a 15 or 16 game lead over the Cardinals for the next nearest team in their division. So that's what I did on Friday. I heard your show Friday. It was great. It was almost like almost entirely talked about music, which was fascinating, I found. And the only disappointment I have is you didn't get the Pat Boone Metal playing, Bob.
Well, you know, into each life some rain must fall, Rick.
There you go. There you go. And then on Sunday night, I went to see, I thought it was Journey and Santana, but actually it was Santana and Journey. So I missed, like, the first song of the Santana show because I was in line getting a beer.
Wait, Carlos had to open for Journey?
Yeah. Yeah.
What madness is this?
What has this world come to?
That's twisted.
Yeah, and the one I missed was Soul Sacrifice, which really sucks because that's one of his best songs.
They did that at Woodstock.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, he's awesome. I mean, his guitar playing and the drummer is, I don't know if he's married to the drummer, but it's a female, really plays well.
Oh.
And just like the best musicians. I mean, I think all those bands have that. I mean, Journey was really good too. I know you don't like Journey so much, Bob, but I mean, they got a guitarist by the name of Neil Sean.
Oh no, Neil Sean is great. You know, he was with the Santana band, and went to help form Journey. But
yeah, he played.
Yeah,
I've
got such terminal burnout over Don't Stop Believin'. Back when the kids were a few years younger, you know, High School Musical came along, and the next thing you know, you heard it everywhere, and it always pissed me off anyway because I went to school with a kid from the Detroit area who the minute when the song came out the first time. Hated it from word one because what is this? Born and raised in South Detroit is Windsor, and it's Canada. God damn it! Yeah. And so there was that.
Tracy's trying to get your attention. I'm thinking because
actually, no, I just
she's
I'm
not listening. Mute. I send you a message to mute, but you wouldn't mute.
Oh, I didn't see the message. I'm sorry.
One last thing.
Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's fine, Tracy. How's it going?
It's going well. I just walked in the door and I didn't even realize. I thought I was on mute. Kimba was happy to see mommy.
Oh, good. Well, our dogs look at us like we're gods. I think that's the thing. That it's so amazing how that works. You know.
It is, and she. You know, I've only been gone for a few hours, but actually, maybe only two. Really, I stopped at the grocery store, get this the provisions for the weekend. I'm going to attempt to grill baby back ribs.
Oh.
I have never done so. So.
Low and slow, Tracy. Low and slow.
Low and slow, exactly. I had already bought a rack yesterday, and then I was looking at them and realizing that because I'm not a huge rib fan, but I'll eat them. But my wife and my son, and then of course Kimba, are. So I went and bought another rack. Hi, honey. Hi, you want to say hello to the family? Yes, yes. Mommy's home. Yes. Kisses.
Well, it sounds tasty, Tracy.
Yeah, we're going to have... we have... we're going to do that in baked beans and corn. Get off of mommy. Get off of mommy. Get off of mommy. I'm going to put you guys on mute and go ahead with your conversation.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. I was going to just say one more thing about Journey. What kind of surprised me is... I knew Steve Perry wasn't with the band anymore, and I guess they have this Filipino singer. I didn't even realize, oh, geez, they actually have an Asian guy singing as a lead singer for a rock and roll band, and the guy is great. I mean, he looks like he's not a day over 30, but he's apparently 48. At least that's what my son figured out. But, I mean, he hits all the notes and, just a lot of energy on the stage and... he probably sounds better than Steve Perry, to tell you the truth. So
he's been with them for years.
Yeah, yeah, well, he's been with them, I think, for at least maybe 9 years now, something like that. Because Steve Perry left them in 2007, I think, after he hurt his back and they had to go on tour, and I guess they just dumped him after that. Probably because of capitalism.
I saw Santana about 40 years ago when he was doing his thing with John McLaughlin.
That was back when he was Devadip Carlos Santana.
Yeah, so it was it was a good time. I think my son, preferred the Coldplay concert a week before at the Rose Bowl. And, with all the lights, they had it was just an extravaganza. They had fireworks, they had balloons, they had streamers, they had glitter that they shot up into the air in canisters and then shine the light on it. And I sort of got a taste of what it's like to go to a rave show without having taken the ecstasy, just in terms of the loud music and just the lights and everything. I mean, it was like a halftime Super Bowl show, but multiply that by 100. It was great, and they sound great too. I mean, Chris Martin and his bandmates, and so that was a good time too. So now I have to focus on getting my bonus if I'm able to. I have 10 working days to get about 100 hours bill, and that includes Saturday, Sundays, and Labor Day. So Bob, I sure hope you work on Monday because I need to be able to have some talk radio to listen to.
Well, right now it looks like there's not much risk of me not, because we've still got $220 to raise to finish the week.
Gotcha. So let me get off the porch and I'm going to get back to Billy and I'll be listening. So if y'all have any,
oh, are we in that time of year? Are you in the billing frenzy now?
Yeah, I'm. My billing period ends September 11th, and it's a little tricky because I'm supposed to bill 1,800 hours, at least 1,800 hours a year, with no more than 10% of the hours written off, which means that I can have up to 180 hours written off if I bill exactly 1,800. And in the last 2 months, my boss has written off a total of 140 hours. And previous to that, he'd only written off maybe 44 hours for the whole year. So I've got to talk to him about that.
Oh, you know? That's not good.
And it doesn't work out for me. Let's just say that I think I will spend the entire fall, you know, working less hard and looking, you know, working harder at finding a new job, let's just say.
Yeah, you just know? Always remember, don't get off the lame horse you're on until you've got a fresh horse to ride.
Exactly. But I'll let him know that, you know, hey, I'm, you know, this seems kind of, you know, sketchy here, you know. So I always hate that. That's probably the worst part about this job. It's just, you know, he's just not a very generous guy at all, you know. No benefits, you know, haven't had a raise for 5 years. So it's like, okay, it's time to go if in fact that's the way I'll be treated. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and how long you been there?
Just five years as of September 11th, or September 12th, technically. So.
Ooh, yeah. Well, we better let you get back to it.
All right. Well, I'll be listening to you all. Okay, so I'll be here if you guys need a lawyer.
Well, you know, it's always good to have one on retainer.
There you go. Well, you got me on retainer. I'm listening. So there you go. And I'm not even charging.
That's the best kind of lawyer.
No kidding. That's like, and best of all, it's tax free.
Right. And it's all tax free. Yeah,
there
exactly.
You go.
All right, Rick. We'll get to it. If you need to chime in, just holler.
All right, you all take care.
All right.
All right, Rick.
And, hey, there's Steve from Georgistan. What's happening, Steve? Is Cletus nearby?
Hey, Bob, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Got you good.
All right, fantastic. Back in the day, we used to have the Steve Walsh, Kansas, Steve Perry, Journey debate, and I was always a Steve Walsh fan. I don't know how.
Oh, yeah. I'd say I'd come down on that side as well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Duke could just hit notes live that he wouldn't even attempt studios, so he was just off the charts. But while I got your attention, I wanted to talk a little bit about these EpiPens, if that's okay.
Oh, go ahead, please.
You know, I was doing some research, and do you know the veterinary equivalency? Of course, we're not all sheeps, but the veterinary equivalency is...
Speak for yourself.
Let me continue. The veterinary equivalency is 51 cents a dose. And I've got a link to back that up. I'm not making this up.
51 cents a dose. But that doesn't have the pen and stuff with it.
No. That's just for the medicine. But the medicine, the ephedrine medicine, is between $1 and $3, and that is not, you know, the veterinary equivalency. And as far as the delivery system, that has been around since WW2. Well, I seen my doctor yesterday, and she said the reason why they're charging so much, or why they're justifying it, is these new EpiPens talk to you now.
Well, great.
So, I didn't know how you wanted to weigh in on that, Bob, being that's Manchin's daughter, who's the CEO of Mylan, or not, or, you know, follow the money, right?
Well, sure. And I maintain that the reason for jacking the price up, like I said, is to tap into that vast and mighty river of corporate welfare that's flowing out there now, thanks to the ACA. I mean, it's not like the ingredients or anything else. It's just because there's money out there, and therefore, because of capitalism, the corporation's goal and job and purpose is to get as much of the free money as it can.
But it just seems criminal, you know, the way that they are gouging folks. And I just posted a link as far as the veterinary equivalency, which really, if push come to shove, if you were in a pinch, it would kill you. And it would do the same thing as long as you knew how to draw one up and administer it, you know.
Yeah.
So what are they charging now for these things?
$645, but they're going to introduce an authorized generic, which is the same damn thing without a brand name on it, for $300, so it'll only be $150 to keep from dying of an allergic reaction.
That's just criminal.
Yeah, but and remember, that's $300 a year times how many millions of people?
Well, yeah. There's so many people that have food allergies or bee allergies. I mean, it's off the charts. Somebody is getting filthy rich at our expense, and that's what happens when you start getting into deregulation and all that. That's what we're paying for now. There needs to be some regulation. We need to reinstitute some of that. Or I don't see any end in sight in this, do you?
Well, Jeremy just said my pens for type 1 work out to be about $100 a pop, with 5 in a box and 2 different types of 5-set boxes to get every other month. Now, type 1, I'm assuming Jeremy's talking about diabetes.
Diabetes, correct.
Yeah.
Can anyone say road trip to Canada? I mean, you know that the Canucks aren't paying anywhere near this amount for these drugs, you know? It's ridiculous.
But a diabetes shot, I believe, is just... it doesn't have to get into the muscle.
But the thing is, they're doing the same thing with insulin, especially with people who have to have 2 different types of insulin.
Mm. I think it's called subcutaneous versus intramuscular.
Right, yeah, sub-Q versus IM.
Right, and as far as when you have a reaction to a bee sting or something, it has to be IM. But still, that does not justify this ridiculous price range, especially since the delivery system has been around since WW2. I mean, it's nothing new.
Right, and the whole delivery system was developed by We the People.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't have any answers other than write your congressman. That may be like pissing in the wind, you know, but who knows. And you're not on YouTube, are you, Bob?
No, not at the moment.
No, well, I don't know if you've heard about the controversy of that or not. I'm going to shift gears a little bit, but YouTube is starting to really restrict as far as what the host can say now. They're starting to really censor and flag people and everything else. So
wait, the YouTube, like for live stuff, they're...
Yes, sir.
They're censoring the F-bombs?
Yes. They're censoring a lot of things if they think some content is unfavorable. They will send the host a warning and just say, yeah, look into it. Just Google it. You'll see what I'm talking about.
I'll be damned.
If Jules is listening, she probably knows what I'm talking about because she's juiced in on this.
Well, I'll take a peep and see what I can find out. I just typed in YouTube censoring speech.
And what did you come up with? I mean, this just all broke today.
You think that would really get Nicole Sandler when she comes back on YouTube?
Oh, is Randy dropping F-bombs?
Yeah, well, that she's the one that brought it to my attention, and Norm Goldman was complaining about it yesterday.
Yeah, Norm was being branded as a copyright infringer because they have no way to record those people who have licenses versus those who don't.
Right, and even if you have a license, that they'll still ding you for that and threaten you, you know?
Yeah.
Randy can't even play Bounce Your Boobies anymore. Or maybe she can, but she got dinged for it, you know?
As long as she's paying for the rights.
And she has permission from the artist.
Right. Well, she had a written letter from Rusty Warren, who wrote that, 30 years ago. And but there's nobody to talk to. There's nobody with a pulse. There's no 800 numbers. So they can ding you, but you have no way to get back to them. So it's really a messed up situation, you know.
It makes the IRS look like a good thing.
Exactly. At least they have a pause. But, Bob, I'm going to toss it back to you.
Well, I'm just looking here. I guess one individual got dinged for naming someone douchebag of the day.
Right.
And they don't. And apparently, the tender sensibilities of Google are offended by. Well, no. Here's okay. You want to? I'm just guessing, Steve. I'm only guessing. But here's my guess. YouTube is worried about slander and libel. Because if somebody says it, and you know, never mind New York Times versus Sullivan, never mind Falwell v. Hustler, YouTube is out there saying, because, I mean, if someone is a public figure, the door is pretty well open. And especially where satire and parody are concerned, and political speech. But I'm guessing YouTube is all nervous-like that somebody's going to call somebody something else, and...
Well, maybe it's fortunate that you've stayed away from that, Bob. I mean, that's just one less headache that you have to deal with, because it seems to be a headache with all the other progressive...
Well, I'm not seeing any here that... I'm not seeing anything here that they're, like, censoring the F word or censoring somebody saying the brown word. They seem to be upset about... about things that look like potentially potential litigation issues.
And it was like my other friend was saying previously, you even have to be careful of what songs you play, even if you have the rights to play them.
Why, if you have the rights to play them, do you have to be careful?
Because there's no way of verifying with anybody, because there's nobody out there with a pulse that knows that you have the rights to play it, so they just assume that you don't.
And oh, well, yeah, right. So like a YouTube will censor it, even right. If ASCAP or BMI or any of those other outfits are
right.
saying,
ASCAP,
yeah, fine by us.
That's the one, Bob, ASCAP, which that covers a lot of territory. Well, a lot of these progressive radio hosts have ASCAP rights to play what they want, but they're still getting red flagged by YouTube, even though they have the rights to play it, but they have no recourse to tell anybody because there's not an 800 number you can call up. 1-800.
Oh, I mean, have the Young Turks started having trouble yet? Because that'll be the benchmark.
That'll be the turning point. No, sir. As far as I know, not yet. But you know, I just. Just wanted to let you know and just give you a heads up. That's, you know, that's the latest fly in the stew, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just an observation. I know that, you know, the progressive radio had the night of the long knife, so to speak, after Mitt Romney lost the election in 2012. And he had Bain Capital take out his revenge on all the progressive radio stations and turned them into either all sports or... You know, all Sig Heil, all up and down the dial, and you know, these shows have been pushed off into the internet. Now I'm wondering if this is a tactic to try to, you know, get the shows off of the internet as well. I mean, who knows? You know, maybe I'm just going a little overboard there. But
the right wing is always going to behave like the right wing behaves, Rick. So
right.
It goes like this: wing nuts get butt hurt. And because there's an ad for, ExxonMobil that runs on a YouTube channel, they get in touch with the PR people at ExxonMobil and I'm never going to buy no goddamn Exxon gas again. Because Merca. Okay. So if you're broadcasting on YouTube, Steve's right. There's nobody you can reach out to. There's no human being. There's nothing with a pulse.
Yeah.
But if you are an advertiser at YouTube, you can bet your last damn dollar that there's somebody you can reach at YouTube. And they'll go, oh, yes, sir. Harumph, harumph. Oh, yeah, we're right on it. We'll take care of that. Absolutely. You know, oh, we love our advertisers.
Right. Yeah, it's all about money because, I mean, little people like Norman Show and Randy's show, you know, they don't make any money for either Facebook or YouTube or anything like that. And so, you know, there's no incentive to service these folks. You know, they look at them as just kind of like getting free stuff.
Yeah, they're content. They're content providers.
Yeah. So, you know, it's sort of like, hey, who cares about them? We don't need to provide customer service to them. They're not making us any money. But again, if it's a copyright holder that like complains or whatever, or you know, sends a cease and desist letter, you know, they're like on it, like, you know, white on rice, you know, they can't, you know, say yes, sir, quickly enough, you know?
Nice, huh?
Yeah. So what Norman did is he's totally off YouTube. He's not even live streaming, or not YouTube, on Facebook. He's not even live streaming on Facebook because they kept saying he was a serial copyright infringer. So they actually banned him for 24 hours from Facebook. So he basically said, "Well, fuck you. I refuse to be branded this, and I'm just gonna go back to streaming on just my site, you know, my own website, and, you know, fuck Facebook until you guys can, you know, figure out how to, you know, differentiate those folks who play music who do have the rights to do so versus those that don't, you know."
Well, and look, I mean, there's a lot of dynamic tension in this because it's not so much for like what we do here because nobody's selling anything.
Yeah.
This is entirely a voluntary effort, and if people want the thing to continue, they contribute. If they don't, they don't. And by the way, big thanks to VJ. Hey, VJ, thank you very kindly. We are now down to $195 to go to get me the night off. VJ said, "I sure hope you can take Monday off." Thank you, VJ. Thank you very kindly. So $195 to go in $300 worth of challenges on the table for this evening. And hopefully that will happen in the next hour and 8 minutes. So we'll cross our fingers. $195 to go. But the fact of the matter is, we're not running any ads. The only thing we have to worry about here, and by we, I don't mean me and that mouse in my pocket. I mean we, the community here, is how many different groups of butthurt people I can piss off at one time. I've pissed off the greenies. And I'm not sufficiently as obsequious to the Hilarians, and it's not like the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, and booger eaters are out there contributing. But you know, we are as progressive people, we are decidedly not happy right now. And besides that, it's a presidential election year, and that has sucked a whole bunch of oxygen out of the room. Because it takes billions of dollars to run a presidential campaign, and every 4 years it is like this. It is a struggle. You know, if you're part of the for-profit media, you just hold your hand out, and the political welfare money comes rolling in. But if you're a progressive broadcaster, for instance, as one progressive broadcaster colleague said to me. You know, when this person went and reached out to a labor organization saying, you know, "Look, I'm pro-labor. You need to support the program." The union looked at him and said, "Why should we pay for the milk why should we pay for the cow when we're getting the milk for free? Because you're going to say good stuff about us anyway. You have to." That's a true story.
That's a real good attitude. I mean, no wonder why progressives, you know, always get out organized by these conservatives, you know, and these conservatives can stay in entrenched power for so long, you know, even though the will.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, I've been down this road a million times, and people are probably sick of hearing it. But, you know, if you've got a voice made for print, but you're blathering a bunch of right wing idiocy. Mm-hmm. There are millions out there for you to access.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you get any funding at all from a progressive organization, now here's $17.52 for the year. Okay, that's great. We're so proud of what you're doing. We'll be sending you some guests to talk our talking points. And at the end of the year, we need to make sure we get a complete accounting of all of your staples and paper clips and ballpoint pens and your copy paper. Okay, great. Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is what it's like.
Yeah. I mean, some of those shows were so boring. I mean, it was like watching paint dry, but with your ears, you know?
I can't believe a union leader said that to you, Bob. I mean, that's like the free rider, you know, they face that all the time.
No, it wasn't. Nick, it wasn't said it to me. It was said to someone else.
Okay.
But they weren't exaggerating. Because I've experienced it too.
It's hard to believe a union guy would say something like that.
I mean, I remember years and years and years ago, we sat down with some pretty high exalted noble mucky mucks for the AFL-CIO, and we said, you know, and Boss Man Wayne was there, and I mean, he carries some considerable the stroke because he walks the walk and talks the talk. And he said, look, we're not looking to get rich. You know, we just want funding to keep this going, keep this on the air. And they said, you know, I mean, we're poor. And then the next day we read an article where they'd signed a multi-million dollar contract with a PR firm that was run by the cousin of one of the members of the E-board. I mean, it's just
hey,
reality. Yeah. Hey, Sparky.
Our local in Sacramento that I retired from, we have what you call a labor management cooperation committee, which gets funded through like a core 25 cents an hour or something like that. And they do stuff to sponsor. They sponsored a thing in Arco Arena for a while until finally they had a falling out with the Kings, but they also do a night, a sponsorship with the Sacramento River Cats or whatever they are, a AAA baseball team.
Right.
That they have down there.
Yeah.
So they do things like that, and then they go to and local community, you know, high schools or something like that. They'll sponsor if they would need like a new scoreboard or something for their team or something like that, they'll sponsor stuff like that. And then we get to put it in as a volunteer project,
right?
Or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, out of the goodness of your heart, right?
Yeah, but at the high school games, there'll be a sign on there. This donated by a local IBW 340 and installed.
Well, let me ask you a question, Sparky. Going back to an earlier story, I've apparently pissed off Jay Cruzan again. But going back to an earlier story, do you think if those Samsung Note 7s were being manufactured with, say, union labor and people who were being decently paid and had good benefits, do you think they would blow up as much?
Probably not.
I'm guessing not. I say I pissed off Jay Cruzan because he said, since you hate Samsung and love Apple so much, I just wanted you to see that. That's what it's like for the last few weeks. Oh my God! I didn't say I love Apple. I didn't say I hate Samsung. I said that Note 7 is an iPhone killer. Because it does things that an iPhone won't do. But you know, people hear what they want to hear. So Jay Cruzan, since you hate Samsung and love Apple so much. And he provides me a forward of a petition or something from Move On about, you know, Apple. Actually, it was Ireland got busted, not so much Apple. The European Union busted Ireland for giving unfair financial support to Apple to keep Apple in country. In County Cork, to the tune of $14.5 billion, and so they've ordered Ireland to recoup the $14.5 billion. Meanwhile, the Obama administration responded by saying, "Well, we think it's really high unfair when U.S. taxpayers are treated like this abroad," referring to Apple as a U.S. taxpayer. Oh my Jesus! Yeah. You're kidding, right?
Yeah, I think that decision is great, Bob. I mean, I think it's about fucking time they start to pay their fair share of taxes. I don't care whether it's to Ireland or the U.S. I mean, wherever they earn the money, they should pay the taxes to the country that is, you know, where the profits are being generated, you know. And I think their tax rate to Ireland was like 0.005%. It was like ridiculously low. And interestingly, the Republicans in Congress were all over this, saying, oh, this is a political stunt by the EU, and, you know, there's no basis for this, and this, that, and the other thing. And the Democrats were just pretty silent. And then there was a notice in the tax notes today that apparently, is it Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple? Now he's talking about repatriating some of those billions of dollars of Apple's profits that are stashed overseas to the U.S. And obviously it's because of this EU decision where they got busted basically for not paying enough tax to Ireland. So I have no sympathy for those people. I think, you know, the corporations have just so, it's such a skewed playing field. You know, an individual taxpayer can't do what they can do.
No, this is just a more globalized version of what happens every day in the United States, Rick.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the reason, for instance, that there's a Mercedes-Benz plant or a Hyundai plant or whatever in a place like Talabama is because Talabama said, well, y'all just come on down here. It ain't like we're going to expect you to treat the workers worth a shit, and we damn sure don't expect you to pay them the same kind of money you pay over there in your commie wonderland of Germany now. Y'all just come on down here and pay them 15 cents an hour, and they'll be happy to have it, and tell them if they ain't going to get but a dime. I mean, I'm exaggerating, of course. But, you know, those car auto manufacturing jobs are some of the best jobs in Alabama. But guess what? They're still miles and miles below anything resembling a decent wage. Meanwhile, and this is a weird little story, the ongoing attempt to organize the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, where even Tennessee state government got involved, like, we don't want no commie unions here in Tennessee. Well, the NLRB has recognized a tiny minority of workers at the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga. They are the maintenance staff, and they have organized with the UAW. Volkswagen is appealing the NLRB's order. Here's what's interesting, though. It's not because Volkswagen doesn't want the plant to be organized. Volkswagen wants the entire workforce to be union.
Wow.
Not just a little tiny part of it.
Yeah.
And they've made that their position all along. And were it not for the interference of state government in Tennessee, it might be an organized plant. And it's a bit, but even this case is a big deal because, well, it's the first time any of the auto plants or any portion of the workforce at an auto plant behind the cornpone curtain has been able to form a recognized collective bargaining unit.
Well, if they can't get, I guess, the state legislators or whatever to go along with the unionization plan, they could just offer the same benefits to their employees and have it like a company union, but it would be a real union.
I mean, they don't want a captive company union either.
Okay. Okay.
Because that was one of the things that was one of the hoodoos that they tried to run at the last unionization attempt. Jay Cruzen is now pissed at me because I didn't read the whole email. So here's that. I know after he says, since you hate Samsung and love Apple so much, I just wanted you to see this. I know the exploding phone is a safety thing, not giving you a hard time for that at all. Never owned a Samsung until last week when my Motorola died. Just now getting used to it. Good thing I went with the S7 instead of the Note 7. To be clear, there's no issues with the Note 7 or the slightly more powerful Note 7. There's no safety issues with the S7 or the slightly more powerful S7 Edge. You get that curved screen. It's hard to get a screen protector glass that'll stick to it. But you get a better processor, more RAM, and a bigger battery with the S7 Edge. Basically, the only thing it's lacking is just a little bit of screen size and, of course, the whiz-bang, gee-golly-wow stylus. And they really did. They made leaps and bounds with the stylus. It's actually quite useful now. The stylus on that Note 7, you can hover it over a word in a foreign language, and it'll translate it. You can make GIFs easy and on the fly. All kinds of cool stuff.
Does it make coffee for you yet, Bob?
No. And I don't necessarily know that I want it to make coffee for me, because then the coffee might explode.
Yeah, there you go.
So, and by the way, since we are chatting remotely with Jay Cruzen, hey, how about a Hermine Storm update? Because I figured they've got Jay Cruzen. There's like a quarter of a million people without power
right,
in the Florida Peninsula.
I'm surprised he's not busy out there working. Or maybe he is and he's listening at the same time. I don't know. You think he'd be on a 48-hour...
Hey, Jay Cruzen's been known to listen at the top of a poll, so... Yeah.
Yeah, that might be it then. You think it'd be hard for him to be sending you emails at the same time on the top of the poll?
No, Nick. You have no, when Jay Cruzen is determined, Jay Cruzen gets through.
There you go.
He has a bucket truck.
I was going to say, is his old pappy Rip Van Winkle challenge still on the table?
Yeah, I guess it is, but that's never going to happen because. That's the Flying Dutchman of whiskey.
Well, that is. It has to be the 23-year-old kind, I imagine.
I think 20 or 23.
Oh, it could be the 20, huh? I seen my local liquor store. If you were to stay out all night long on the one particular night of the year when they're going to have it in stock in the morning, you might have like a 5% chance of actually getting it, but you'd have to spend the night camped out in front of the liquor store.
I don't camp out for Star Wars movies, and I damn sure don't, and I damn sure don't camp out for whiskey. But the thing is, the interesting thing, and our buddy Ron in Canada. In the far, soon-to-be-refrozen north, we hope, climate change being what it is, was telling me that the Van Winkle family in Kentucky doesn't own a single still. They don't own any distilleries. They farm it all out. It's all curated whiskey. And curated is the fancy whiskey snob word for... We bought it from somebody else and stuck our own label on it. There's a distillery that opened here in West Virginia, and they're getting quite a bit of good press for what they do. They've got and the name of the distillery is Smooth Ambler, and they make some gin and they make some vodka. I think they make the vodka on site because vodka's needle cleaner. You get it done, you put it in a bottle, and you ship it out. Because it just doesn't taste like anything, or at least I don't think it does. Now I'll get hate mail. Okay, I pissed off the vodka drinkers. Yeah, Arthur in the chat room a couple of minutes ago said there's still the macrame, Stargate SG-1, Catholic, death metal, Peruvian accountant contingent left for you to piss off, Bob. You haven't insulted them yet. But now I've insulted the vodka drinkers. But they've got a bourbon that's getting really, really, really good press, and it's called Smooth Ambler, and it ain't made by the Smooth Ambler Distillery. They buy it from the same distillery in Taliban, Indiana, that makes Bullet, Bullet, and they put it in their own bottle, and they note, you know, what rack and what rick and what barrel and when and how long and which way the wind was blowing and whether the day ended in Y, and sell it for $40 a fifth. And it's really respectable. Oh, I haven't pissed off the Mr. Robot fans yet either. So there's that. There's hope.
I don't get Mr. Robot, so I try.
I got no cable in here, so I got no clue.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's Christian Slater. I don't know.
I just know I'm sort of in a fallow phase because I just finished the only season of The Expanse and enjoyed the hell out of that, and I just don't know where I want to go next.
Bob, check out The Night Of if you have HBO. It's only
which I don't.
Okay, all right. Well,
I tried that too. Maybe because there was so much going on, I tried to watch that too, and it's like, yeah. You know, I have all the channels and all that. Well, not all of them, but a good majority of them. And it's like, and I have all these channels. There's still nothing to watch.
I'm waiting for the next season of Narcos. It's just coming out here shortly on Netflix.
Oh, I heard that was pretty good.
Yeah, I watched the first season of it.
Hey, Bob, did you try to watch The Get Down?
I tried.
Yeah, it's not your thing.
I think some of it's just timing. My head has not been in a real good place lately for a variety of reasons.
For a myriad of reasons, and I liked it because it was just great escapism. It's so funny because I was talking to my brother in Atlanta, and he called me the other morning and to ask you if I ever heard of the group America, and I was like, yeah, of course, why are you asking me about America? He's like, I don't know what's happening, but I've suddenly gotten into 70s soft rock. I said, it's because you're getting old.
Oh, what did I see that referred to as? Yacht rock. That 70s soft rock I saw referred to as yacht rock.
And you know, when you think of Christopher Cross, sailing.
Hey, wait. I've got that album, that one Christopher Cross album with the little pelican on it has a place in my heart.
No, listen, I love you. It's just when you say yacht rock, it just took me out, you know, instantly to Christopher Cross.
Sailing takes me away.
From where? Yes. But, so, when he's like, because he was asking me about the song Ventura Highway, he's like, are they talking about Cal, you know, over by you? I'm like, yep.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. See, I had a note from Rico in Pittsburgh a while back talking about the genius that was America. And they, it was some beautiful stuff. My only qualm with America is I will forever have a grudge against them for Muskrat Love.
Yeah.
But Sister Golden Hair.
Yes.
Ventura Highway. Tin Man. Yeah. I mean, that's just like I said when we were talking music last week. I didn't have any rock and roll radio to listen to. You had to do, you know, that was the kind of stuff you listened to in your buddy's parents' basement. You know, with all the, you know, then you put on the Zeppelin and whatnot. But to just turn on the radio, no, I got to, America, okay? I mean, all those stuff on those, you know, now from Time Life Music, AM Gold, that's what was on the radio.
Oh.
And so, I love those classic America tracks, although, you know, Horse with No Name. I think it's about something, but I haven't quite done enough acid to figure out what the something was.
You know what? Shut up, Bob.
You shut up, Tracy.
A guy in my college dorm had the tambourine from he threw out the tambourine to a in the concert at an America concert. He said, "That's the tambourine the guy threw out in the concert." I said, "Okay."
Brushes with greatness. Yes.
Brush with greatness. Yeah. I wasn't a big America guy, so it didn't do much for me. But
well, I love a good lyric, and I love good musicianship. And when Ferg was first learning guitar, one of the first little tasks I set him was because he doesn't read much in the way of music, but he's got a great ear, and he's got pretty good technical skills. And I sat him down and I said, "Okay, let me just find it here because it'll make it more appreciable." Yeah, this
but Oz never did do nothing for the tenor.
No, but this little lick is impressive, and I set him to trying his hand at it. I mean, it's a repetition, but it's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And bless his heart, he sat there and he and a couple of days later he had it.
Bob, if you want to get him something started easily on the guitar, try "Dead Flowers" by the Rolling Stones off "Sticky Fingers." That's nothing but a DAG progression. He'll be able to pick up on that in a heartbeat. Now, maybe you may not want to because of the content of the lyrics, but that's up to you.
Okay, that can be done. I'm pretty proud. Ferg's got pretty eclectic tastes. He was really proud of himself when he figured out how to play. Okay, gotta find it. Oh, what am I thinking of? Give me a minute. Oh, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, it'll come to me in a minute. Just had a note from Michael in Madison. subject line, Pearl Jam who? "Hey, Bob, would you mind saying on air that Eddie Vedder sucks? I'm feeling a little left out. I haven't been pissed off by you today. If you could insult the intelligence of pescatarians, that'd sting quite a bit as well." Goddamn fish-eating Pearl Jam fans. Fucking Eddie Vedder sucks! It's going to cost you, Michael. other radio programs offer sponsorships. Here we solicit pledges for insulting different groups. I'm turning into Don fucking Rickles. You hockey puck.
Well, you start talking about music, you can piss off just about everybody. That's the one thing.
Oh, God. why can't I remember this now?
Are you kicking furniture, Tracy?
No, I was I was trying to quietly... Yeah, we're still in those stages of, you know, the moving in stage of the house. And stuff is still kind of everywhere. And I've been pretty restricted as to what I've been using to cook with, and I was like, okay, I gotta put the ribs on, but I haven't had the need to use a roasting pan, and so I had to kind of go dig and find a roasting pan. So I found a roasting pan.
Sounds like you're changing 8-tracks or something, man.
Oh, shut up. I've just rinsed out a goddamn pan, for goodness sakes.
Oh, I know what it was. It took me a minute. I'd put that on a brain cell that was teetering on the brink of oblivion.
And
see.
The older we get, the less it seems that we have more brain cells teetering, doesn't it?
Yeah. No. This was the one. This is Ferg heard this and lost his mind.
Boom boom, boom boom. Okay. Give me a little time to change my keys, and I'll get boom boom for you. Thank you for being so kind and so patient waiting.
Oh, wow. Alan Wolf, isn't it?
Boom, 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 boom,
boom.
Gonna shoot you right down. Right on for your feet. Take you home with me. Boom, 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 boom.
Now, it's John Lee Hooker.
Yeah, it's John Lee Hooker.
Okay, but Alan Wolf covered it too.
But he heard that and went wild. And do it, you know, for days. You just heard that little riff, you know, blowing out over the five watt practice amp. And I think, you know, it's so raw, it's so elemental. And he's got the right voice for it too. He's got that lower end of boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Meanwhile, Earther noting, and we're back with the Bob Kincaid, what you looking at, misanthropic dissing hour. Oh, God, I don't think I could make it through a week anymore without you guys.
Well, that's why, you know, like I said, I've been tuning in and calling in a lot more lately than I have been in the last few months because I just needed some sanity. Or, you know, perceived sanity, because I've been having these like I said, these mini meltdowns. I actually finally, I got a hold of the Department of Mental Health, and I finally set up a appointment to start back into therapy, because we're going to need it. I'm going to need it the next 2 months so I can just get through this fucking election. Hi, Kimba. Oh, she's asleep.
I mean, it used to be that, you know, in the old days, at least when Obama was running in 2008, you know, election season was silly season. Now it's become insanity season with Trump out there and, you know, all of his nonsense that
And that's the depressing thing, Rick, is that I don't know about you or any of the rest of the group. But I have this sensation that every time we open a new trap door and go a little bit deeper into the filth, that the trap door slams shut behind us and we can't crawl back up.
Oh, jeez.
And Bob, you just said exactly what I've been thinking. It's like, are we so far gone that are we going to ever be able to recover from this shit, this gross, just disgusting, vile stuff.
Have we gone over the edge? Have we gone beyond the point of no return or not? You know, that's what it almost feels like. I know what you're saying. That was a perfect metaphor, Bob. You know, about the trap door and
because we don't get better. We don't get well. So whatever happens, I mean, Jesus Christ, can you? And see, Agnes isn't here right now. She's over helping take care of our daughter, and so she doesn't sneak around the corner with the Thorazine dart gun and just, you know, right in the neck, and I get the refreshing burst of flavor. So I'm just kind of, you know, staring wide-eyed at the madness. Can you imagine? Okay, it's bad enough trying to imagine Trump winning. Can you imagine the re-election campaign in 2020? You know, that's one of those moments that our buddy Kate out on the front range would say. You know, she'd just throw her dress up over her head and run screaming around the room till she bumps into the furniture. re-elect Trump. America, even greater again.
Oh, God.
You're assuming
that there would be any kind of election 4 years from now. We probably an election.
Yeah, Nick, it'd be one of those Saddam Hussein 99% to 1% elections. did you see the story? Steve, you and people like you and Malloy have got to just be fucking thrilled about this. All the video game voting machines in Georgia And by the way, the only thing you have in Georgia are video game voting machines.
That's it.
Are so out of date. I mean, why? You know, why? I'm not going to say this because I don't want to discourage anybody from voting. But it's you kind of look at it and you go, why am I even going to take the time?
All the video game
voting machines in Georgia are running, and all the really smart computer people who are shit that I don't know even begin with, all the video game voting machines in Georgia are running Windows 2000.
That's why I'm writing in Cletus this year.
Did you say Windows 2000?
Yes, ma'am.
What year is it?
Isn't it 2016?
Yeah. Windows 2000, let's say we got Windows 10, Windows 8, Windows 7.
So what are we up to?
We're
up
XP. I mean, Windows 2000 is what comes right after Windows 95, which came right after Windows 3.11, Windows for warehouses.
Wasn't there Windows 98, as I recall?
Yeah, okay. And then, all the video game voting machines in Georgia are running on, Windows 2000, which can be hacked by newborns.
After Windows 2000 wins Windows Millennium, and the current version is the second version of Windows 10, which is called Windows 10 Anniversary.
Yeah, otherwise known as Windows. Windows 10. You don't want it.
But you have no choice. I've got an obligatory Star Trek reference. Remember the episode where Bones saw? I think they went back in time and saw like surgery being done, and he said, what barbarians? That sort of reminds me of, the way Georgia is with its computer system,
Well, if they wanted anybody to vote, they wouldn't be voting on video games anyway. Yeah. That's what happens when you push it. That's what happens when you try to vote for a Democrat. It makes that dead Pac-Man noise.
Oh,
oh
my God.
Even I could hack Windows 2000.
Oh, I think at this point in time, Windows it has been unsupported by Microsoft for so long that I think it's probably self-hacking at this point.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, let's say you're in Georgia and you try to mark the little box that says Hillary Clinton, and it just changes your vote to, Alf Landon.
or Cletus, if I have my way.
Oh, Cletus is a good girl. She's a sweet puppy. Sorry, I have to do that every time you say Cletus. I'm just glad you're not getting thunderstorms. I hate the thought of her hiding under the bed. So let me reiterate. Yes, we got $195 in fundraising to go this evening, and 32 minutes to do it in. It's like the line from the great Jerry Reed song, "Eastbound and Down." We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. And
I'm sorry, Bob.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Tracy.
This is what, we're talking about the voting machines in Georgia, and the whole thing of people trying to keep folks from voting. Is that not so? Is it at some point, when does our government step in and say, okay, I know that there's not much they can do for local elections because they're local, but when it's a national election, what the fuck?
Well, see, there's your problem. Because, see, if we was to try to federalize voting all over Merca, that would be an overreaching on states' rights.
It's right.
Yes.
And then again, if we,
we don't have the Voting Rights Act, because it's Georgia, after all. We don't have the Voting Rights Act to fall back on anymore. Because Justice, that dead-eyed Justice John Roberts declared that racism no longer exists in Merca.
Can somebody send me that memo, please, the next time I'm walking in the store and get followed around, or I'm denied a loan or what have you, and I can't get a job because, they see my resume and they see Tracy Michelle Porter, since my name is not Shaniqua Lene Johnson. they don't know I'm black until I walk into the office, and then it's like, then all of a sudden that job is gone.
Right, and then they go, Dale Harris, my God, that woman's black.
Right.
Did you hear about the 49ers game last night?
Yeah, one more guy refused to stand.
Nice.
Yeah, but Colin Kaepernick was sporting the biggest afro I've seen since the 70s.
Yeah, I saw that. He had that picked out serious.
Wow.
The boo birds get on him when he took the field.
So he was feeling his inner Superfly. Is that it? I'm sorry, I couldn't help that.
Did he look like Flea from the Mob Squad? Or?
Oh, there
Superfly
you go.
Yeah.
Superfly did not have an afro. Superfly did not have an afro. Get it right.
No, I'm playing. I'm playing.
Flea did.
Link did. It was Link.
Link
from Flea. Okay, Link. Yeah, he had the big old afro from the Mob Squad, right?
Mod. Yeah.
Oh, God, you guys are so white. Fuck.
But anyway, after the game, there was a whole bunch of fans that were cheering him when he left the field, and he went over and signed autographs for him, and the 49ers security finally had to haul him away because there was a few nasty people up in the stands.
Well, good for him. I mean, so overall, do you think the fans are supportive of him? I imagine they are in San Fran.
Yes.
It's a pretty progressive city. Very progressive.
All he did last night was take a knee. Okay. And Eric Reed, the safety, joined him. And then
banner, okay.
Yeah, then there was a guy on the Seattle Seahawks that sat on the bench.
Okay.
During the play.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think, you know, if they made you sing, you know, if they made the audience sing like the third stanza of that song, mm-hmm. you know, then people would realize how fucking racist it was, you know? You know, I mean, Francis Scott Key was a total POS, you know?
Oh, and you know, it's not just, and let's understand, when you look at verse 3 of the Star-Spangled Banner, it's not just slaves who wanted to be free that Francis Scott Key shits all over. It's working people, too, because it's hirelings and slaves.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, hirelings.
Yeah. Otherwise known as people who work for a living.
Like it, or maybe they still had indentured servitude back in 1812, right? Maybe it was them he was referring to, Bob.
Well, he was referring to people who had taken the British coin in return for pushing back against their oppressors.
Okay, yeah.
And make no mistake, there was oppression going on.
Well, the song itself glorifies war, and the tune is from an old British bar song. You know,
yeah, right. it's a drinking song.
It sounds like our national anthem sounds pretty damn close to the British national anthem.
No. God Save the Queen is.
God Save the Queen.
Well, no, that's something that our. My Country 'Tis of Thee.
Yeah, that's
like
it. Right.
God Save
yeah,
the
right.
Queen.
We just bogarted that and rewrote the lyrics. Yeah. By the way, a couple of notes. Jay Cruzen wants you to know, Sparky, that season 2 of Narcos is on now. He got an email from Netflix today. He says, I love me some Mr. Robot. He says, yes, I'm working. Emails in between stops. Didn't travel for the hurricane. Still here doing regular work. And he said, oh, and I got the hottest fucking hot sauce ever. Thinking of offering a few bottles for premium donations. Let me know if you're interested. I'll make one order and send it to you so you can distribute. It ain't cheap either. Stuff's $20 a bottle. So... I guess it kind of depends. Is it hard to come by? Tell me more, Jay Cruz.
Tell me more. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. No, not that crazy.
For hot sauce?
Was that an ABBA song, Tracy, you were singing?
No, she was singing from Greece.
Oh, okay.
From Greece.
Okay.
And don't mess with... Don't mess with ABBA. I love me some ABBA, so don't care.
Oh, I like ABBA, too. They were hot. Did you see the ABBA the movie?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's on TCM like every once or twice a year. I still have it recorded. Oh, my God.
Oh, by the way, Jim says, you haven't pissed me off. The conversation on the program's been great. Happy Labor Day. Thank you, Jim. Thank you very kindly. I don't try to piss people off, but hey, have I mentioned Eddie Vedder sucks? I really want to get that out there just for Michael, because Michael makes very few demands on the program, and I just want everybody to be happy.
He's awesome.
And Jack in Shreveport, in regard to your Star Trek reference, Rick, Jack says the McCoy quote y'all reminded me of. My God, man, drilling holes in his head's not the answer.
There you go. Yeah. I think you might use the word barbarians or some sort of, they're savages. Savages, I think, is what he used.
And
modern medicine.
Hey, Sparky, in the few remaining moments, you might want to check in with Bike Gata. Bike Gata. She's trying to get into the conversation.
She hasn't sent me a message, so I don't know. I'm looking.
Okay. Yeah. So
somebody's trying to get in.
Yeah.
She sends me an IM.
I told her to reach out to you.
Oh. There. Maybe it's there. Yeah, okay.
So you said that did the 49ers win yesterday or whenever they played?
Yeah, they came back in the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh, thank you.
Their fourth string, the quarterback that they brought in a couple of weeks ago, Christian Pounder, he pounded it, the rock.
You say names. You say, I love it how you sports people say names like I'm supposed to know who the hell you're talking about.
Well, you don't have to, but I mean, they got, called this guy off the street. He was painting his house.
Oh, are you talking about Christian Pounder?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that used to play for Florida State.
And he played for the Vikings for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, last time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and well, I guess he was
painting his house in Phoenix when the 49ers called him. His wife told him, just go have fun. So that's what he did.
Cool. Yeah, hey, is that a new person in the room here? Is that Kay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's
yeah, how are you?
That's Mike Gata.
How are you?
Yeah, barely.
Hi. Barely?
Oh.
No, you're coming. Wow, you're coming in great.
You're coming in loud and clear. And I'm listening to you on the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. I don't know. What's going on?
Everybody else can hear you good. Ooh. It's just one.
You're golden.
You're all loud and clear to me.
Okay,
should I turn in my?
Out my way.
I'll turn off TuneIn Radio now. Okay.
Oh yes, do that.
Well, hi. Thank you for getting me through the afternoon.
Well, hello.
Oh, thanks for jumping in. It's awful good to hear from you. It's been a while.
Yeah. Oh, you were saying San Francisco is a really liberal city. Well, I don't know about the fans, but the sportscasters here are terrible against Kaepernick. They're all beating their chests about how patriotic they are, and you know what? They're not supportive of him at all.
Haven't. Yeah. I don't get behind the mic and just deliberately try to inflame people or make their heads explode. I'm proud of myself, as I mentioned with Tracy previously. I'm proud of myself for not having played the Tommy Lahren clip. The privileged
so
little 24-year-old infant-sized zero child that's over on the Blaze.
Huh?
Because that's about as obnoxious as it's gotten.
Yeah, but don't you love the... You know, when I, because like I said, I sent you, I said I was not.
I love that dude. No, he was awesome.
That dude was so friggin' awesome. You know, do not call yourself a journalist when it's your opinion, you're a blogger. I mean, he didn't say that but if you go to his Facebook page, that's what he talks about. But, it was just like, okay, let's talk about facts. And like you said, you do your level best to not inflame people. Just like he said when, you know, when people were writing to him after that asshole got 6 months and he only served three when he raped that girl up in Stanford.
That was a great point.
And he was so good with that. Wasn't that a great point?
He said I had members of the black community writing me saying, you know, you need to talk about this, because if that had been a black person, they would have done a lot more timing. And he said, you know, this was not black people were not hurt by that case. The woman who was raped was hurt by that case.
Yeah, she didn't get justice.
Yeah, she's the one who was denied justice. And I just that just kind of put me back in my chair a minute and go, wow, this guy's sharp.
And it did me too, because I was one of those, you know, I mean, because me being
His name again, Tracy, so people can go look.
Ryan, who the hell is Ryan Davis?
Who the hell is Ryan That's Davis? The, yeah,
I mean, because it's on, you know, I put his stuff on the, I put his that thing on the home page. But you, because I was one. I mean, and I still, and I know he feels that way, that, you know, the injustices for black people and stuff like that. But when he said what he said about it had nothing to do with black people, because we all know, you know, with mandatory sentencing and all that, black people always get the shaft and get, you know, harsher prison sentences than white people. We know that. But in that case, it had nothing to do with a black or white issue. It's the fact that, well, it was a white issue, but not a black issue. It was a white issue of privilege, because, you know, he did not, 6 months?
I wonder if that cat is somehow related to that affluenza dude down in Texas, you know?
I think they're philosophically related, if nothing else. Oh, hey, yeah. By the way, Rick, you've got a note in from Michael in Madison. Tell Billable Rick, I saw Pearl Jam at Wrigley Field last Monday. I had seats on the field. It was awesome.
Wow.
And Michael adds, I just wanted to feel included in the Butt Hurt by Bob Club.
Oh, there you go.
And, you know, it's Friday in Madison, like it is everywhere else in North America and South America right now.
Friday every day in Madison, as far as I recall, because I had a road trip up there. I went to Northwestern for a couple of years.
So that means Friday fish fry.
Oh
boy!
And wow. You know, somewhere, some godforsaken pescatarian is tucking into a beautiful walleye fillet, and all I can say is, you know, damn you. Michael also adds, Rick, because he's rubbing it in real good now. Also, I saw the boss at the United Center on Monday. He was within 2 feet of me. Bucket list item, check.
Wow. Well,
I totally just remembered. This is, you know, those things when your memory goes and then somebody else say something. It's like, holy shit. I actually saw Bruce Springsteen back in the day in the Born in the USA tour.
Me too. I saw him in Des Moines, Iowa in 85, I guess, right?
Let's see. Yeah. Properly pronounced, that would be Des Moines. Yeah. Isn't that in good French, Des Moines?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, it should be. Well, I have my own boss story. I might have told you guys this. I don't know if Michael and Madison has heard it yet, but I saw Bruce's last show at the dump that jumps, the sports arena, the very last concert that was held there. Like last February, this past February.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And that was just an awesome show. I mean, but 2 feet away, I am envious of that, actually.
How do you get those tickets, man?
I guess you got to know some peeps. Yeah. Well, then again, I get to go to the Geezer Cella here in about a month or
Geezer
so.
Geezer Palooza,
so.
Yes.
Month and a half.
Geezer Palooza?
Yeah, yeah.
And oh, by the way, I get
Coachella.
How about the
Coachella?
What is it?
Coachella.
Croquichella.
There you go. Croquichella. We could call it the Depends Fest as well.
Oh, and by the way, I guess it's another thing that I'll never do. But Burning Man is running through the 5th of September out in the desert.
That ain't ever. See, that is not. I'm so glad that I married a white woman that doesn't care about shit like that.
That is too damn hot for me. I'm sorry, Bob. I'm not going to go out to the middle of the desert like at the end of the summer. I'm sorry. I don't need 110 degree heat.
Well, now wait. If it doesn't have one of the, it's interesting though. You know, it started out with just a few people going out and camping in the desert and like, you know, eating some mushrooms or, you know, little G-O-D hallucinogenic mushrooms. Cacti or whatever, and getting in touch with their own navels. but it has expanded into this humongous thing.
Oh yeah.
And the people who are really there for what they're really there for, dude, are really getting tired of the rich Silicon Valley douchebags, as they refer to them.
Go.
And it kind of it kind of went over the top. There's a thing available this year for the low Kmart price of $11,000 to $12,000. You can book a one way helicopter flight from Reno to Burning Man.
Oh jeez, one way.
How do you get back?
You just stay there.
Well, you call them and you pay another $11,000 because that's why you've got a rich Silicon Valley douchebag salary.
Wow.
Okay, pissed off. Okay, I guess the big Silicon Valley money's out too. That $195 is looking harder and harder to get.
They prepped their own airport there this year, Bob.
Did they? Jeez.
We have turboprops landing in there, charters.
Oh, and buses that would make Willie Nelson and John Madden weep.
Oh, wow.
The ad on Facebook for this, for an outfit called Coastal Helicopters and Santa Barbara Helicopters, the Facebook ad said, use your $1 million... No, okay, we got to have a voice for this. Use your $1 million Silicon Valley salary for something good, like arriving at BM in a helicopter. Travel with ignorant white women misappropriating Native American culture who will totally fuck you for the privilege of riding in that helicopter.
Oh, jeez.
No, she wasn't writing the ad copy. The woman was responding to, you know, what assholery.
Wow.
Another guy said, I'm not saying it's for sparkle ponies, but it's for sparkle ponies.
And, I'm not saying it, but I'm saying it. Alex Jones, right, Bob?
And the ad is precious.
Oh, jeez.
It's women, beautiful women in leather and lingerie, or maybe leather lingerie, wearing white feathered Indian war bonnets. No shit. Getting out of the helicopter. And another dude with a painted-on handlebar mustache dancing by himself on the desert floor. I mean, Jesus.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever sent you guys a picture of my barbecue, my grill. I just sent one to the chat room.
On Skype, yes. You want to describe it?
It's beautiful.
The one side's charcoal and the other side's gas, right?
Yep, and it has a side burner as well.
Are you cooking every night, Tracy, on the grill?
I cook because I haven't really felt like doing much of anything. That's why I'm finally trying to getting my groove back.
Yeah.
And so last night I grilled steak, wafer thin steak, sirloin steaks, and baked potatoes, and I made my signature cucumber tomato with red onions and blue cheese salad with red wine vinegar and olive oil.
Oh my God. Can I have some?
Yeah, Rick, I have to have you over for dinner. I keep forgetting you're local.
Yeah, well, once September 11th comes and goes, then I'm not so jammed with time, you know?
Oh, hey, Tracy, I got to interrupt for a minute because this is right up your alley. You'll love this so much. Did you catch the Trump asshole spokesman talking about Mexicans again?
No.
That was a good one. It's a good one.
Get the hockey puck, Tracy.
It's a real good one.
Yeah, if we don't elect Trump, there'll be a taco truck on every corner in America.
There's a taco truck on every corner in L.A. What's the problem?
Well, it's I'm sitting here in West Virginia going, really? We get a taco truck if he's not elected?
Wait a minute.
Shit, I'm voting twice.
Does that mean that you get a deep fried, you might actually get deep fried shrimp tacos in West Virginia?
Yeah, every corner.
Every corner.
It's like, that's a problem? What's the problem with that? I don't get what the problem is with that.
Shit, we only got 3 taco trucks in town.
Dude, I can't drive. I mean, they're not on every corner, but like especially Friday and Saturday nights, and since this is a holiday weekend, I mean, I this is one of those things. Yet another reason why I'll never leave California.
Well, they have those trucks all over the city, Tracy. Because I mean, I see when I come to work. Like, I usually get in late because I stay up late, so I get into work maybe 10:30, 11. I see them lined up, I see them parked across the street. They're, like, getting ready to, to serve lunch to all the office workers nearby.
As a matter of fact, there's a big, huge over in Santa Monica by, like, where Google and all that is. What's that street? They have, and this is just a line. It's a one-way street, and there's, like, a line of, like, 5 or 6, maybe even 7 different food trucks.
I think I know you're talking about,
somebody posted a picture of that on Facebook today, I think.
I want a taco truck on every corner. Is that like a chicken on it?
I was going to say, that beats the living shit out of a chicken in every pot now, doesn't it?
I guess that's another reason to vote for the devil, right, Bob?
You got to say it right, Rick. It's D-E-B-B-I-L. It's the devil.
The devil.
The devil.
The devil.
The devil.
I can't even remember what Southwest Moon Meme stands for anymore myself.
Me either, but it works. it stands for we can't. We can't use the phrase "you know who" because that's taken. Ron and Raleigh made that clear.
And the one that cannot be mentioned, or the one that, what do they call Voldemort? Well, that's Rick Scott, isn't it? Because I saw a picture. Oh, sorry, airplane going over. Oh, private jet from Van Nuys Airport.
Flying to Burning Man.
I saw a picture of Rick Scott the other day talking about how he is the worst governor, but he still gets, he gets.
He's not Voldemort. He's Skeletor.
No, he looked a little more like Voldemort when he took form. Maybe it was that particular picture.
Jeez.
I don't know. Maybe you've seen the back of his head. I haven't.
More like Rat Boy to me.
Okay. Southwest Moonbeam is she who must not be mentioned. Southwest Moonbeam.
Moonbeam. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and just had a note from Randy saying I'm kicking in $50 in hopes that Bob can take the night off on Monday. So that gets us to $145 a go. To finish off the 2 challenges, one courtesy of Laborman, the other courtesy of Chris in Germany, that are out there this evening. So,
what is California contingency going to do from 3 to 6 if you take the night off Monday?
Yeah, we're going to be totally lost without you, Bob. We're going to be suicidal. We're going to have to call the 800 hotline.
Hey, listen, the management committee is the one that's told me I'm supposed to take the night off, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, the Horn Family Community Congregation set the nightly fundraising goal, and that's been for years, and I'm being told to take the night off Monday.
Well, we're going to relax that. That $145, you can waive it, take the night off.
No. There are rules. This is not Vietnam.
I have it.
There are rules. This is not Vietnam.
I understand that, but you really going to let $145 stand in your way of taking the night off?
Yes.
On Labor Day?
Yes.
Bob, come on, brother.
How about if we How about if we pay you a bonus, Bob, if you decide you're going to work on Monday? How would that work?
Well, but then it would. Well, the bonus would have to be like $145 because we'll be behind, but we'll be in the hole on Monday. That's the whole thing.
Well, yeah. How many people we got here? I'll split it equally. I mean, come on, let's give Bob the night off.
And okay, not so let's that, that now let's we'll just
be on Monday on the front porch.
We'll just see how it plays out. Maybe
that'll be a good idea. Monday on the front porch.
Labor Day on the front porch. But aren't you going to be out at the grill or something, Tracy?
Honey, look, let me tell you a little something.
I know the blue teeth goes everywhere, right?
Not to put anyone on the spot, just trying to help, Bob.
I understand.
Look, seriously, look, I'm standing outside. It's a beautiful Southern, we have finally got a break in that fucking heat wave. I can actually stand outside. I'm watching Kimba roll on the dirt, in the dirt, and I just got her ass groomed yesterday. Of course she's rolling in the dirt. This is what I love about my Bluetooth, because y'all can hear me just great, and I can hear you just great. So, I'm tonight I'm making ribs. And now that I'm thinking about it, because I didn't think about doing them slow and low and slow, so tomorrow, what I just may do is put a rack of ribs and just cook them all day tomorrow.
You know what I recently discovered?
What?
The Wiggling Pig up here, what they do is they still cut their meat. They still cut all their own meat. It's not like, you know, it's shipped in vacuum sealed or anything like, you know, fucking Wally World. And they save back their pork trimmings all week long.
Ooh.
And then at the end of the week, they make homemade sausage. And it's really, really low in fat. I'd say there's actually less fat in their sausage than there is in their hamburger. And whenever it's there, I try to pick up a package because it's freaking delicious.
Mm.
And I patted it out. I patted out their sausage the other day. Last weekend, actually. And I'd never done this, you know, because you think about, you know, country-style breakfast-type sausage. You know, you fry that in a skillet, right?
Exactly.
No. I patted it out and put it on the grill.
Oh no!
There's this outfit in Northern West Virginia called Oliverios, and they do hot peppers in what they call sauce Olvero. It's just a fairly lightly seasoned tomato sauce. So it's tomato sauce and peppers, hot peppers. And they're chunks. They're not like little miserable little measly bits. They're hunks of peppers. So I toasted the sesame seed bun. I put the sausage on the sesame seed bun. Threw on a slice of cheese, and doused it in those tomato sauce and peppers. Stop it! Oh my God, it was good. I couldn't believe it. Where have you been all my life?
that's what I'm.
Wow.
See, this is
that is such good food porn, Bob. That like really makes my mouth is watering, Bob.
And I mean this is, I mean it's no Kaneka. Oh, by the way, Hoghead out in Missouri, Stan, went and found on my recommendation. Went and found some Kaneka, and went wild. Said it was everything that I said it would be, and because it is. Yeah. Well, hey, we got to get out of here, but it has been, VT Blom in Florida just said, you just hit the food porn jackpot, Bob. Oh, it was good. But, you know, you can't do it. It won't work with that Jimmy Dean miserable business. Yeah. Somebody's got to care about the sausage you're making. But we got to get out of here, everybody. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Nick, over on the stress line. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Snork. Thanks, Tracy. Good to see you, Bike Gator. Maybe we'll get a little more conversation in next time. That would be lovely. And thanks to everybody who jumped in. We got the biggest part of the challenges taken care of. We've only got $145 to go, and golly, it would be great if we could do that that way. Whatever happens next week happens with no hole in the ground. So thanks, everybody who makes all of this happen. Thank you, one and all. This exists because of you and for you and for all of us, the community that you have built. Have a wonderful weekend. If anything changes where I have to be away from the mic for anything other than me just laying about being lazy on Monday, if I do that, I'll let you know on Twitter and on Facebook. So thanks, y'all. Have a great weekend. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.